You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
But first, we speak to investigative reporter Nicky Hager about his new book released last night called Hit and Run. It's co-authored by John Stevenson, a prominent war reporter, and makes the case that 21 civilians, including a three-year-old girl, were killed or injured during a revenge raid in Afghanistan by the SAS in 2010. I now have Nicky live on the phone. To start, Nicky, can you give me a quick rundown of what actually happened during the raid and who was involved?
Yes, hello. I'm happy to do that. This was a strange time for New Zealand. New Zealand had been getting on very well in Afghanistan. Compared to most countries, we'd had troops there, no one had died. We'd been in a relatively peaceful area. And then the first New Zealander died when the roadside bomb went off. And the job was given to the SAS of tracking down the people who were responsible for it, the SAS who were based in another part of Afghanistan in those years. What happens is that there was a mood, according to the people, to the SAS people and the people we talked to around them, there was a mood of rage and indignation that a New Zealander had got hurt. And they tracked down a group of insurgents who they believed were responsible, and they unwisely jumped to the conclusion that those people were based in these two little isolated villages in the middle of the mountains there, where alas they were not actually located, because insurgents in Afghanistan for decades have followed the procedure of hiding in the mountains after an attack because they don't want reprisals. And so our SAS got asked for support from US helicopter gunships and drones, and loaded piles of their own SAS commandos into helicopters and headed off these two small Afghan villages and did this ghastly attack where there were no insurgents there at all. There were children running frightened, and their parents and old people. And it was just a terrible tragedy that what turned out, which could have been a mistake, but it was fueled, and you could just say it was a mistake, except first of all, it was fueled by this anger, and they went around blowing up and burning down houses as well. But secondly, they never admitted they'd done anything wrong. They gave no help to the wounded. They never went back to give any help to the people afterwards even, and they tried to cover the whole thing up.
And so how do we know it was New Zealand forces that actually killed and injured these people?
What we know is that quite a lot of the deaths were caused by bringing in these helicopter gunships, which are like intergalactic, incredibly powerful murdering machines, and using them in an urban area where there were people and children and people running between houses and things. So the New Zealanders led the raid, they commanded the whole thing, they were in charge and responsible for what happened, and they used helicopter gunships in there, which was inevitably, unfortunately, going to end up with civilian casualties. On top of that, we've looked at it as closely as we can. We know each person who died and where they died and things. And there were two people who died who didn't have helicopter weapons. They had bullets, which had small holes going in and big holes coming out, just to name the horrible facts of it. And it seems quite possible that they were SAS snipers. So then if New Zealanders were involved because they organized it and asked for and took these helicopter gunships into those villages, and they also may have been directly involved through the SAS snipers, and also they were, as I said, they were blowing up and burning down houses as they went.
And so in terms of who to hold accountable for this, is it purely just the SAS, or does it go further up the chain than that?
Accountability is always hard to judge exactly, because you don't know exactly what people knew. The first round is, the SAS are undoubtedly most culpable for this. And I think a lot of the cover-up and the secrecy has come from them as well. So primarily it's the SAS. But actually, the SAS were very careful. Well, before they did this raid, they knew it was big and they knew it was risky. And so the night before the raid, they briefed the Defence Minister and the Chief of Defence Force, who were in Kabul. And we've had exact details from people who were at the meeting of what went on there when they briefed them. And even then, the Chief of Defence Force and the Minister of Defence thought that maybe this was too risky, and they didn't want it to be on their hands either because of what was going on. So they stepped outside their room, and there, outside the operations centre of the SAS, they rang through to John Key and briefed him on what was happening, and he made the decision. So the ultimate decision to do this went right up to John Key, and he gave him the go-ahead to go ahead with it. So there's a number of different levels of accountability and responsibility.
And so who did you speak to get a full picture of what happened during the raid? And how do we know that their accounts of what happened are reliable?
To answer the second question first, when you do something like this, we can't quote the SAS people we spoke to. We can't quote the intelligence people. All that we could, so that, how do people believe it? Well, the reason you write a book is we packed it with detail of who was where and what happened and the order of things and exactly showing on maps what happened where. And if we're fantasists and criminals and we just made it up, well, that's one thing. But otherwise, it gets an internal credibility because we've got so many sources and we know so much detail. Because as I say, people can't front. They'd lose their jobs. They'd be in big trouble if they were to be revealed. Who helped us? There were members of the SAS. There were people who were on the ground in the raid. There were people who were supporting the raid. And there were people who heard about it afterwards and who were involved in different ways. And, of course, there were the villagers who we had extensive contact with. And so, because it was such a large and complex and then hidden, covered-up thing, we had to get lots of different sources in different places, which is why it was a two-year project to do this, and gradually cross-reference their information and decide which bits of the memory seemed to be correct and which bits were corroborated by other people and built the story around it.
And so after the launch last night, the New Zealand Defence Force came out and said that they stand by the statement they made in 2011, which says they'd investigated allegations that were made regarding civilian casualties during the operation, but that these claims were unfounded. Why did their investigation not match up with the findings of your investigation in this book?
You know, when they put out that statement again, which was a pack of lies in 2011, and they repeated it again. Now, I actually couldn't believe it. I think that there's a lack of good judgment amongst the people who made that, because anyone who looked at the book would know that it was not credible to say that. I'll just explain for the listeners. What they were saying was, what they said in 2011 when rumours of some sort of a raid reached Television New Zealand, and they slapped it down and denied it all, they said two things. First of all, they said that they had killed 9 insurgents, like it was a big success, and secondly, that they had killed they had harmed no civilians. So those are the two facts that they say they're still sticking to. And yet they didn't kill any insurgents. We've got their names. We know every person they were looking for. We know what happened to them in the years afterwards. We know that they turned up to the funerals of the dead innocents. They were filmed on a mobile phone by someone there, who later sold it to the New Zealand intelligence people. We know that they know for sure that they didn't get any of the insurgents they were looking for. And we also know from their own reports and from their own staff talking to us now that they know that they killed civilians. So to put out a statement which was completely opposite to the truth, I still don't know what the Defence Force is thinking.
Mm. And so what these are pretty serious assertions about the behaviour of the SAS. And from what, do you believe that these could be grounds to suspect war crimes were actually committed?
That's correct. Now, neither John nor I, my co-author and I, we are not international lawyers. And so what we said in the book was very brief on this. We said that, our lawyers had dictated the words to us, that there were good grounds to suspect that there had been serious breaches of international law and war crimes. And what those are, that means that not taking seriously the difference between civilians and combatants. It meant, for example, that we haven't talked about is the beating up and torture of a prisoner, which is something that New Zealand soldiers know is wrong, and the blowing up of the, and burning of the houses. Those were the things which stood out there for us.
Mm. And so just finally, what are you hoping the next steps will be? How do you want the government to respond to this?
This is very important. Tell you what I really hope. I hope that we won't just get a silly, knee-jerk reaction saying, it's all lies. Those guys don't know what they're talking about. I hope that there'll be some mature people who will say, there's obviously something in this and we'd better look at it closely. And what I hope will happen is that when they start to dig into it, when they get their staff to read the book and realise that it is very well documented, that they'll see that for New Zealand's sake, they have to have a commission of inquiry, they have to dig into this, and they have to do the inquiry which should have happened the week after the raid when it first went wrong.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Nikki. I really look forward to having a thorough read of the book when I get my hands on a copy.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
around, you know, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
That was Nikki Hager speaking about a new book that was just released last night called Hit and Run, which is co-authored by John Stevenson and makes the case that 21 civilians, including a three-year-old girl, were killed or injured during a revenge raid in Afghanistan by the SAS in 2010. Next up, my producer Adam will introduce the next story.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.